Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
But today we're talking about vitamin K, and we've done a whole series on all the vitamins.
We have?
Yeah, and this is the last vitamin.
The last one.
So vitamin K is the last one.
Last one we covered, yes.
Right. So if you're listening and you didn't hear the other vitamin shows, you can go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com and download that and listen to, we had vitamin A, B, C, and the vitamin Bs were, there were 18 of them.
Yes, we went through 18 vitamin Bs.
See, I'm listening.
Yeah, you are. You've got this down pretty well.
C, D, E. Mm-hmm. Is there a vitamin F?
Well, yeah, they kind of have a vitamin F. There's actually a H, which is actually biotin. So, but so there's some
covered those.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about vitamin K. What is vitamin K?
Vitamin K, if you remember, we talked about fat-soluble and water-soluble mm-hmm. vitamins. And vitamin K is a fat-soluble vitamin, along with vitamin A, D, E, and K. And vitamin K is very much, whenever anyone thinks about vitamin K, they think about blood clotting.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they give vitamin K shots to babies? You know,
right,
for blood clotting and all that.
When they circumcise.
When they circumcise them, correct.
Yeah.
So, vitamin K is a very important vitamin and very well known and pretty well. But there's also other aspects to vitamin K that most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's one of the things that we want to cover in here. So, vitamin K, very important one.
So, it's just not for blood clotting. We're going to talk about that. Are there different forms of vitamin K?
There are three basic forms that we give people. There are two natural occurring vitamin Ks. K1, phylloquinone,
mm-hmm.
which I won't have you repeat.
No, please.
And
or spell.
That basically comes from green leafy vegetables. Main place that they get that from is from alfalfa leaves.
Ah.
So, vitamin K1, it's the one that's what the majority of people get their vitamin K from.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin K2, menaquinones, that is a made in your gut by microorganisms.
Hmm.
So, in the intestinal tract. So, one, you get K1, you get from the outside. K2, you actually get from natural, bacteria that grows in your gut. And then K3 is a synthetic form.
Oh.
And it is actually, what's interesting about that is water. It's water soluble, which is...
Oh, the synthetic one is.
Yes, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it is two times as active biologically. So it's even more active than the natural forms, which is all very helpful in understanding which form of vitamin K that you give to people plays a very big role in how it responds, and so having a good understanding.
Yeah, and talk about, I know you have in the past when we've done the vitamin show, but the difference between water-soluble and fat-soluble.
Sure. Fat-soluble, as it goes through the body, is dependent upon the fat in your system to be able to absorb it in your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then fat-soluble, you actually store it, so you have some storage along those lines. Water-soluble, you just get rid of it as soon as you aren't using it.
So
you don't
important.
Really store it.
The fat-soluble vitamins, because could they become toxic?
They can become toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for any of the fat-soluble vitamins, A and D and K
mm-hmm.
Can become, have toxicity. For vitamin K, you can get a hemolytic anemia that occurs. In other words, if you get too much vitamin K, your red blood cells start to get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that you, you know, make sure that you don't get a toxic amount. Vitamin E, though, they haven't really shown that you can get a toxic amount of vitamin E.
Even though it's fat soluble.
Even though it's a fat soluble. As a matter of fact, some of the more, what we talked about, some of the more serious conditions that you need vitamin E for, it is extremely helpful to take massive amounts to actually get that changes take place.
Mm-hmm.
So each of those are really important. And then also all the fat soluble mm-hmm. are ones that have antioxidant properties. So, do you know what a, do you remember what an
oxidant? Well, I couldn't. You go ahead and
okay.
explain.
Okay, let me explain that. So what happens.
This is the test.
What happens is when you have an oxygen molecule, and it's important for the whole oxidative process, mm-hmm. Which makes your energy. And the oxygen molecules will lose an electron quite easily. So what can happen is that the fat-soluble vitamins will absorb that electron and actually contribute one to the oxygen molecule, therefore stopping the oxidative process in the body, which is very similar to, you've seen rust on a gate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the oxidative process on metal, is rusting.
Okay.
So basically, people sit there and say, "What, Doc, are you telling me I'm getting rusty?"
Yeah.
And that actually is what's occurring. So the fat-soluble vitamins are extremely good as antioxidants.
So it's important, too, that it's monitored, you know.
It is. You don't want to get too much. So, mm-hmm. you know, having, just going out, and I have people sit there and say, "Well, I heard about vitamin." Matter of fact, I had a patient recently who had come in, "I heard about your vitamin D talk," and I started taking vitamin D, and I said, "Well, you remember about the lab tests.
Uh-huh.
I need to follow up on those, so let's do a blood test, see what's going on." And they said, "Well, yeah, I was taking quite a bit because I've been been under the weather a little bit," and they had toxic levels of vitamin D.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm not just saying
go out there and
take vitamins. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is that you really need to, like vitamin C, if you get too much, you just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
These vitamins you have to watch and monitor and make sure that you're taking proper amounts and that you're not getting too little, which causes a lot of problems, or too much, which causes problems.
Yeah, and that's an easy real blood test.
Right. And that's one of the nice mm-hmm. things, though, about K3, the synthetic form, is it water-soluble.
Now, do we carry that?
We do.
Okay.
So that can be something that you can take and not get a toxic amount.
And that's the synthetic one.
Yes. And so understanding whether you're using, and each one of those have different things that they work well with. So having someone who knows how to monitor those and work with them, it plays a big role in which one you're taking.
And we have K1.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
I've
seen that.
Any of those. Yeah.
Go out. So why is vitamin K important?
Well, it's known as the blood clotting vitamin. So if you are bleeding profusely mm-hmm. And you want to stop bleeding.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hemorrhaging is not a good aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a really important type of thing. And understand that easy bruising can be another issue that can occur with vitamin K.
Mm-hmm.
Bone formation. A lot of people don't realize how important it is for forming bone.
Mm.
Also, it is important for mitochondrial function. So any type of a disease that is involved with low mitochondria is a very important thing. And then, interestingly enough, they're not completely sure why, but it does have a very strong reduction on pain. So you can take vitamin K and get some excellent pain reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, it can actually work better than any of the analgesics.
Wow. So are those all the things that vitamin K...
Those are the important things that are with vitamin K.
So what role does vitamin K play in blood clotting you talked about?
That's a very important thing. So vitamin K goes into the liver and is absolutely essential for something called prothrombin.
Uh-huh.
So that is the thing that actually clots the blood. So the very basis of that, but not only that... there are several different factors during the clotting process, And it is a very important that you have enough vitamin K for factor 9, factor 8, and factor 10 as the whole blood clotting takes place. So at many different points, matter of fact, if you're low on vitamin K, you're just not going to have the proper blood clotting take place. And then you can start to get a huge amount of problems that can occur. Of course, you also have to understand how that works with if you're trying to thin the blood. Mm-hmm. So having a good understanding of vitamin K, and there's a tremendous number of people nowadays that are on blood thinners.
Yes.
So how does vitamin K work with that, and what role does that play? And what is the balance between vitamin K and blood thinners to make you as healthy as possible? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just one way or the other. You're always trying to achieve a balance. But it can be a very important factor in understanding that. And that's where the K1, K2, and K3 can come in on working with the whole blood clotting.
Now, someone that might get bloody noses, could that be a sign of
that
low vitamin K?
That could be a sign of low vitamin K. Easy bruising is another thing that can occur. Hemorrhages in the eyes. Mm. Can also be another clue that you are low on vitamin K. The menstrual periods, if they're too high, can actually be a sign of a vitamin K deficiency.
Interesting. Okay, when we come back, more on vitamin K.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
When should homeopathy be used instead of pharmaceuticals?
Research on pharmaceuticals have really never been done on children and how children respond, because children are completely different creatures. They have a different immune system. They have different physiologies. Mm-hmm. And we have never done research. Obviously, nobody wants to volunteer their kid to have research done on them on pharmaceuticals. And children are much more sensitive to pharmaceuticals than adults are. A lot of problems that occur as we give pharmaceuticals to children. So homeopathics should be the first line of any type of medication for any children. Recent studies on ear infections have proven a dramatic difference between homeopathic treatment and the antibiotics that have been prescribed. The rate of how quickly they get better. Also, the biggest thing was the reoccurrence of pharmaceuticals. The children who had antibiotics had 6 times more reoccurrent ear infections than those who got no treatment at all. The homeopathics cut down the number of reoccurrences by a third.
I was out in our reception room just saying hi to the patients, and one was telling me that you helped her with her kidneys. I don't know if she's going into kidney failure.
She was. She had a GFR of 18. We started her on some homeopathic injections. There are no pharmaceuticals to help with that. And she went in 4 days later, just as an emergency type of thing, got checked, and her numbers were up to 32. 18 to 32,
32
in 4 days. That was with a homeopathic treatment.
I think she said, the ER doctor said, "Where did you go? What happened? How
right.
can someone change
to that
these
degree
levels that quickly?" He was blown away.
And we've had other people look at our studies, and that's one thing that we're very good at, because that's one thing that pharmaceuticals, they really don't have anything for that. Mm-hmm. But we're excellent at getting those glomerular filtration rates up to where they need to be. And we have a lot of patients who are coming in, and we're keeping them from ever going into dialysis treatment.
Yeah, which would shorten
failure,
their lives.
Which is very painful, very expensive. And if we can do that on a consistent basis, which we want to do research and show that we can through homeopathics, then this could really have a huge benefit to everyone. Congestive heart failure. That's one of the things that they found, is that homeopathics have been very, very beneficial. Much less problems along those lines, which is, again, another thing that we really don't have a good pharmaceutical answer to. Homeopathic can be a stopgap in a lot of different types of situations where pharmaceuticals don't have an answer to. Looking at homeopathics is a great way to approach it.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. 877-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Today we're talking about vitamin K, actually the last vitamin. There's no vitamin L, M.
No, there is not.
So before we went to break, Dr. Prather, you were talking about the role of vitamin K plays in blood clotting.
Sure.
And how many people are on blood thinners.
Large number.
So do you work with those people with vitamin K?
Yes. One of the things to be aware of is if you start to bleed too profusely, vitamin K can get that under control. Let's say you're on a blood thinner and you hit your head and you start to bleed inside the brain. How do you stop it? Vitamin K. Mm-hmm. So people who are on blood thinners should have some vitamin K that they carry around with them in case they start to have some type of bleeding that takes place, because it will help to stop it and get it under control. But you have to understand which vitamin K to take with which drug, mm-hmm. whether it's K1 or K2. Now, interestingly enough, K3, the water soluble, does not interfere with blood thinners.
Ah.
So oftentimes, you know, when you're on a blood thinner, there are problems with vitamin K because it also reduces the vitamin K and the effectiveness of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the main actions that it's supposed to do, is interfere with prothrombin and prothrombin time, and then also with vitamin K absorption. So you can get around it by taking K3 instead of K1 and K2.
Is that why they kind of invented K3?
Yes, I think that was some of the interest along those lines on how mm-hmm. to kind of work with that. So
have it be water
soluble.
You can
kind of get around it, though. When you start talking to physicians, they don't understand how that all works and get really nervous.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, some people, I know one guy was on a blood thinner, and he was doing almost like a whole green leafy vegetable diet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wondering why his blood thinners weren't working.
Oh.
Because they were monitoring him.
Uh-huh.
So
he was doing vitamin K through the green leafy
vegetable. Yeah, nobody was figuring out what was going on.
Uh-huh.
So we said, well, what are you eating? And then we go, oh, okay. Well, you know, this is why your time is. And handling people on blood thinners is very important. So there's very specific blood tests. Matter of fact, the blood tests to check on your vitamin K levels, you actually get that much from the same tests that you would be doing on monitoring someone with blood thinners.
Okay.
So there's a very mm-hmm. strong correlation on this, but people who are on blood thinners really need to look at their vitamin K situation, have a good understanding of that, and which different drug they're on has a very definite effect. And then really anyone who's on a blood thinner should be looking at carrying some emergency vitamin K with them.
Right, but they need to be monitored, right?
But they need to be monitored. Mm-hmm. They need to be taught, you know, how that all works and how to kind of balance that.
And get a blood test.
Blood
you were saying, the patient
important.
That listened to our vitamin D show and started just taking
vitamin D, and mm-hmm. and you can get a toxic amount, which can cause damage.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has a plus, everything has a negative.
Mm-hmm. So what are some good sources of vitamin K? You said green leafy vegetables.
Green leafy vegetables, alfalfa, of course. You know, I mean, that's where they actually get making vitamin K from.
Mm.
Parsley is probably one of the highest sources of vitamin K. Broccoli, cabbage, spinach. Also soy, egg yolks, liver, legumes. Also, it is made in the intestinal bacteria. So having good quality intestinal bacteria can keep your vitamin K up. Mm. If you start to get depleted, then you can get low on your vitamin K. There are some other different types of vitamin K I won't get into. There is a difference between plant and animal form of vitamin K, and can play a different role on how all that works. Optimal levels of vitamin K that you're taking is between 50 and 100 micrograms. pregnant women have a much, and lactating women have a higher need than the average person.
And you said micrograms.
Micrograms, yes.
Okay. So what signs show low vitamin K?
Well, a couple of things that kind of show up for a low vitamin K is one, easy bruising or easy bleeding. In other words, you get the nosebleeds, mm-hmm. You cut yourself and you just bleed and bleed and bleed. You bruise easily. Along with that, it can even be like spider veins, mm-hmm. can be a sign of vitamin K. You don't heal very quickly or easily. Osteoporosis can be a sign of vitamin K deficiency. Easy fractures. Menstrual cramps is something that has a lot to do with vitamin K levels. We've solved a lot of women who have menstrual cramps with vitamin K.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what role does vitamin K play in taking care of bruises or easy bruising?
Well, when you're talking about vitamin K and getting into the easy bruising, you have several different factors that go along with that. But any time that, you get some type of an injury, I mean, I had this one gal who came in, and I looked at her and I said, and I've seen this quite a few times. It was just like, you got all these bruises, she says, yes, my husband does not beat me.
That's good. Uh-huh.
She said, ever since I had my third child, I've had this. The bruising, mm-hmm. yes. And she said, I also got all these spider veins, and she said, everything kind of went downhill. I blame that child a lot. And he's ornery, too. Which doesn't help. And so one of the things that we saw is that she had a vitamin K deficiency. Mm-hmm. So got her on some vitamin K, and it really just made a big difference on that. One of the interesting things is she also had quite a few headaches. And the headaches also responded very well to the vitamin K. And you can even get bruising up into the head, and that can actually kick off some headaches. So the integrity of the body is very important. Bruising in the head. So if you're on blood thinners and that increases your headaches, mm-hmm. it's not a good sign. It could be bleeding in the brain, which can cause some real problems. Mm-hmm. So it might be that you're a little bit too imbalanced. And oftentimes we can give vitamin K3 and solve the headaches and a lot of the bruising, even though you're on blood thinners. But you also have to make sure that you're not bleeding too much. Mm-hmm. So really watching in other words, it gets tricky.
And I just want to tell listeners out there, because I lost someone very precious to me who was on blood thinners. We weren't aware.
Right.
She was out of state and was on two different blood thinners and hit her head. And what she should have done is gone right to the hospital.
Right.
And ended up having a brain bleed, and we lost her. Yeah. So if you're on blood thinners, please, and if you've hit your head, even lightly, go to the hospital and get checked. I just wanted to say that. So what other supplementation should go along with bruises or easy bruising?
Homeopathic arnica.
Mm.
That's a really, that should be something.
Got that in my medicine cabinet.
Every mom should have in her medicine cabinet, because mm-hmm. you take the homeopathic arnica into the mouth.
Orally.
Uh-huh. And then you also have some topical arnica oil mm-hmm. that you put over the bruise. And for the moms who have had that, the combination on that is almost miraculous on getting rid of bruises.
Mm-hmm.
So
anybody with children especially should have that in their medicine cabinet.
Absolutely. And if you're having problems with bruising, the vitamin K, of course, is very important. But arnica, both homeopathically and topically, can really help out. Bromelain, excellent. Vitamin C and bioflavonoids. Those are also very important for the integrity of the cell, for the body. Mm-hmm. Also checking on low copper. Because low copper is part of the material that makes up the arteries and the veins. Mm-hmm. And if you get low on copper, it's very easy to bruise. So the vitamin K should be looked at, probably the most important one. Homeopathic and oil arnica, bromelain, vitamin C, bioflavonoids, and then, of course, the copper.
Okay.
Are the big things that you're looking at.
So What role can vitamin K play in bone fracture? You were talking about that.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about how important vitamin K is for the skeletal structure. And that's one thing that's not really talked about that much. So if you do have a fracture, vitamin K will, if you have adequate amounts, will really speed up the healing and also how well it heals, the strength of the healing. Mm-hmm. So if you get a fracture, there's several things that you have to look at, but people don't realize how important vitamin K is, because vitamin K makes a protein called osteocalcin, which is what attracts the minerals to the bone.
Oh, interesting.
So it kind of captures it and locks it in. And you can be, I've had people who came in and said, you know, I've got osteoporosis, I've taken all the vitamins for it, it doesn't work. You know, I'm not quite sure what to do, and we check on vitamin K and they're low. Also, they usually have some easy bruising that goes along with it.
Right.
So that's a real big factor. And so what we do is we pop in the vitamin K, and it really helps out. So if you do have a fracture, your need for vitamin K goes up dramatically. Mm. So really hitting that hard is a very important type of thing. Best way to take it is probably, so that you don't get a toxic level, is to take high amounts of vitamin K3. That will really speed up the bone healing, and you can see a real big difference. And it also helps out with the bruising for a fracture. So you get a double kind of a whammy.
So what other products can be necessary for that bone fracture?
For the bone fracture, of course you're looking at calcium, magnesium, vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Evening primrose oil really helps out. So one of the things is, remember that a lot of vitamin K's are fat soluble, and evening primrose oil seems to encourage the whole vitamin K action.
Interesting.
So if you take evening primrose oil with a vitamin K, it works that much better. And then also something called bone knit. We have it in a homeopathic form. Mm-hmm. And that is just, it will speed up the how quickly you heal a bone fracture by about twice.
Knit the bone.
Yep. Bone knit is absolutely wonderful. You can use it topically, in herbal form, and internally homeopathically.
Okay. When we come back, more on vitamin K.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
You want to know how fun my week's going? I had my prostate examined last week. The last physical I've had is when I was 25. It's been 30 years since I've had a physical, and I do not remember the glove part. I know that I would have remembered the glove part. And he said, we're going to give you an exam for prostatitis. And I thought prostatitis was a Roman general that helped Caesar during the Gallic Wars.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What does the future hold with cancer, and can we ever eliminate it?
I am very optimistic. Excellent research that is being done. Some of the things that we've been touting for quite a long time is really starting to move forward. The research is actually showing up the benefit of structure function care, along with highly improved disease care. Some of the regenerative medicine that is coming out is amazing on some of the benefits. We won't completely ever eliminate cancer. I really think that we can eliminate 90 to 95% of all cancer in the United States if we start moving forward and doing the things that we know need to be done. So I'm very optimistic that for the most part, for the vast majority of people, cancer will not be the concern that it is now. I'm excited to be in the healthcare field, and it's exciting times for it.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type, and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about vitamin K. And, you know, as we're talking, Dr. Prather, and just how the body works, I mean, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. It is.
It's a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we really emphasize in structure function care, is getting the whole body balanced. And as you get the body balanced, then everything works right.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the role vitamin K plays in osteoporosis.
Well, osteoporosis, again, that can be, vitamin K can oftentimes be the missing ingredient in fixing osteoporosis. We've seen that many a time. And something that I keep on having to remind even my nutritionists, you know, oh, look at the vitamin K and see if that takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make the protein osteocalcin, which does attract the minerals. So looking at the vitamin K, checking that out, especially if you're having easy bruising or if you're on a lot of different types of medications. Medications can really interfere with the use of vitamin K. So really looking at that and making sure that your vitamin K levels are good for the osteoporosis, one of the missing ingredients that people oftentimes are not aware of.
Yeah. So what other supplements help with osteoporosis?
Of course, you want to get the balance of calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Evening primrose oil, of course, is something that really helps out quite a bit. One of my favorite products. Matter of fact, the British used to call evening primrose oil King's Cure-All, because they would give evening primrose oil, and it facilitates so many different types of things. One of the biggest things that evening primrose oil helps is all the fat-soluble vitamins. It helps them to absorb better.
Interesting.
So vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E.
So what is evening primrose? I mean,
Yeah, it's actually taken from the evening primrose. It's a plant.
Uh-huh.
So you get that from
it's
the seed. It's an herbal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, they used to call it King's Cure-All because they would give that to people. And so many of their nutritional problems were taken care of because a lot of people were deficient in the fat-soluble vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really fix a lot. It really helps with the absorption on that. Strontium for the strength of the bones. Boron is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Silica. Silica is the structure that you, is what's made up of the bone where you put the minerals into. So
okay.
If you're low, it's sort of like the building material, the steel in there. And the best place that I like to get that from is horsetail tea. And it really builds it up and helps
we
out.
We sell that, well. The horsetail tea.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it also helps out with hair and nails. It really makes a huge difference for both of those and extremely good for the bones. Zinc is very important. You need to balance it with copper, but zinc is very important for the integrity of the bones. Manganese, and then making sure that you don't get too acidic, because acidity can lead to osteoporosis, so making sure that you have a good alkalinity.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things are involved in osteoporosis.
Okay. Can vitamin K be helpful with cancer?
Yes, very important. One of the things that vitamin K is very, very helpful with is with the integrity and the function of mitochondria. Mitochondria are where the energy packets, ATP, is made. So your whole energy levels is very much involved with that. And whenever you have cancer, one of the things that you show up. Matter of fact, they can do MRIs and find out how many cancer cells you have in your body, because it really shows up the levels of the mitochondria. The lower the mitochondria go, the more likely you are to get cancer. The higher the levels of mitochondria you have in your cells, the less likely you are to have cancer. That's one of the main reasons that I can tell with my cancer patients on whether they're going to recover or not. Mm. Is, you know, doc, when I have, you know, I'm just so tired, that means that their mitochondria are low and probably cancer is going forward. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden they sit there and say, I've got more, you know, they've got cancer, I've got more energy than I've had since I got this. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. what's going on, but whatever you're giving me mm-hmm. is going great. Well, that's a sign that we're boosting their mitochondria and the body's going to be able to fight the cancer. Mm-hmm. So mitochondria level is extremely important aspect, and vitamin K plays a very definite role in that and can really, really help out along those lines.
Mm, so interesting. So what role does vitamin K play in pregnancy-related problems?
Well, pregnancy, the big thing, of course, is hemorrhaging. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about pregnant women, the majority of people don't have really, really strong deficiencies in vitamin K. But you start to get into functional levels, and probably I would say 80% of all women are low on vitamin K.
How much? What percentage? 80%.
Huh. And lactating women also, you know, mm-hmm. who are breastfeeding. Because vitamin K, the baby just kind of absorbs it, and most babies are deficient in vitamin K. That's one of the things that they're checking on, is the vitamin K levels, because they don't have the source from their gut because it hasn't kicked in yet. So the only vitamin K that they're getting is from mom, and they need a lot of vitamin K, so they're pulling it, sucking it in. Mm-hmm. So mom's levels are real high.
Just and then sucking it from mom.
And then you have a birth process, which can cause bleeding, and you can see where that can be a real dangerous combination. Mm-hmm. So making sure that mom has adequate levels, proper levels of vitamin K is one of the big things, especially to prevent hemorrhaging, which can be life-threatening for the mom and for the baby. Mm-hmm. So almost all babies are low vitamin K. Almost all pregnant moms are low on vitamin K. Mm-hmm. So very important type of an aspect, really could make a big difference if we follow those levels. Also, it's very important for nausea and vomiting. Vitamin K solves nausea and vomiting, one
That's
of the
good
major
news.
Types of things, yeah. Mm-hmm. Along with B6, ginger, some of the other things. Excellent, excellent type of an aspect. Also, if you're low on vitamin K, remember I talked about the mitochondria? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're low on mitochondria and your body kind of stretches out, you get something called stretch marks, which is a sign of mm-hmm. vitamin K and zinc deficiency, also some vitamin C, but vitamin K plays a very big role along those lines. Mm-hmm. And so women who go, oh, I don't want the stretch marks, you know, they almost don't worry about other things. But I say vitamin K, and you can take it internally, and then you can actually rub vitamin K if you can get it earlier on the stretch marks, uh-huh. and they will go away. So there's a cream that you can use on that. And spider veins, which is a big thing that women get when they're pregnant too. And you take it and then also rub the vitamin K on there, and spider veins can disappear.
Do we have that cream? Do we carry?
We can get that. We don't carry it on a regular basis, but we do order it for people.
Okay. Interesting. So, anything more on the pregnancy-related problems?
No, but especially the hemorrhage. I mean, that's the big thing.
So, in circumcision, right. Do they always give vitamin K?
Yes. Baby boys just aren't going to have enough vitamin K, mm-hmm. Really until the eighth day mm-hmm. to be able to do clotting. So, they always give some vitamin K to help with the clotting factor.
Okay. But they do it sooner.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they do it right. Yeah, they do it yeah. right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, did they wait?
They waited until the eighth day.
Interesting. How does vitamin K play in rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, it's one thing that they found is your synovial sac, which holds the bursa, mm-hmm. The fluids. It is very, very dependent upon vitamin K. Seems to be quite a bit related to the mitochondrial production. So synovial fluid linings are extremely important. And you can get some excellent relief by giving vitamin K for rheumatoid arthritis patients.
Mm. Can vitamin K be helpful with pain? I think you said that, but how is vitamin K helpful with pain?
They're not completely sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a very excellent analgesic effect. So it is always something that if you are taking pain medicines, want to try something natural, vitamin K is a great way to do that. But the body, I'm thinking that it has to do with the mitochondria. The higher the energy levels, the less pain that the body. Matter of fact, if you have a low mitochondria, you automatically become sore all over.
Hmm.
If you increase the number of mitochondria and energy, your pain level goes down. So I'm thinking it's associated with the mitochondria levels,
mm-hmm.
but we're not completely sure completely about why it helps with pain. We just know it does.
And then what role does vitamin K play in myopathies?
Well, there is especially on mitochondrial myopathies, there are specific ones
mm-hmm.
that are involved with low vitamin K. And then you have low mitochondrial function.
Mm-hmm.
And then the muscle starts to waste.
Oh.
And so if you can get the vitamin K in there, that's probably along with octoconazole, one of the major things that can stop muscle degeneration.
It's interesting as you talk about, you know, when you have a low vitamin, any of the vitamins we talked about, you can just see the aging process.
Right.
And you can see people that haven't aged well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably are real deficient in their vitamins.
It's basically most of the aging process is deficiency in vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start a deficiency, then it compounds.
But you can improve it.
But you can improve it and actually change that around. Also, fibromyalgia mm-hmm. is a really big thing that that vitamin K can really help out with.
Okay. When we come back, more on vitamin K.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What's your view about bioidentical hormones?
Bioidentical hormones are bioidentical. So what they've done is they've made them exactly like your natural hormones, which sounds like a really good idea. Very effective. You can get some very quick results, but extremely dangerous. Why? Because you're talking about 64 different major hormones that have an interrelationship with one another. If you just throw one hormone, it affects all the others. So there's a whole cascade along those lines, and you can really cause some extreme damage. They've done experiments, and they've done six of them, and they ran them, and they stopped them every single time because of the increased risk of cancer was just out the roof. Mm-hmm. There were people who were dying who were in the studies along those lines. Well, I can think of six women who were in my office who were getting their hormones balanced, and they said that they were going to go for bioidentical hormones because it was quicker, easier.
And that's something we do not do here.
We do not do here. And they all six wound up getting cancer.
Mm.
So your chances of getting cancer are very, very high. Less than that is the pharmaceuticals that are given out. There's much less risk pharmaceutically. You still have a risk for cancer, but much less than bioidenticals. And people think because it's very close, then it's gentler to the body. It's totally not true. And then you take it a step down, and when you're starting to deal with it naturally, then it actually reverses the risk for cancer.
How do you treat hormones?
Well, what we do is, like, let's say you need thyroid. Well, we give thyroid organ. You need pituitary. We give some organ tissues of pituitary. Also, there are different types of herbals. So we can do either with animal organs, adrenals, thyroid, pituitary, those types of things to get that worked out. But then there's also herbals that you can can use. And then the organs, you do the combinations along with homeopathy. Mm-hmm. So we have three different ways of approaching it and see which one is the best for each individual. And what's great about that is that the body takes it into your system, utilizes it how it wants to, and you're still talking about body regulation. If the doctor takes over the regulation of the hormones, it's dangerous. If the body's doing the regulation, it knows how to move it back and forth. It knows how to do the subtle changes. And if you do that, it's a very safe way, and you're bringing the body closer into homeostasis with the herbals, homeopathics, and the organ tissues, so that you are more protected from diseases and cancer than the other way.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about vitamin K, and I'm finding that very fascinating. The whole vitamin series has been real interesting. And I know you've gotten a lot of good feedback from it.
Yes, a lot of interest. A
lot of interest. So let's talk about what interferes in vitamin K absorption.
Well, as you're talking about vitamin K, there's a lot of things that can be involved in that. One, most of it's a fat soluble. Mm-hmm. So anything that interferes with the workings of the body with absorption of fat can be a problem. And that's really dependent upon the liver and gallbladder. Bile is absolutely essential to be able to absorb fat into the body. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important type of thing. Also, any type of a dysfunction that happens in the upper ileum, any types of diseases or changes in the stomach acids, pancreatic liquids that mm-hmm. are supposed to be coming out. If there's a change along those lines, then that changes the whole vitamin K absorption. Also, if there's a decrease in the gut flora, that can play a role. So all of those different types of things can really have an impact on an absorption, or if you're taking different pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals can play a very big role in blocking vitamin K absorption. Low vitamin C can also play a role, or if you're taking too much of some of the other fat-soluble vitamins, that can interfere too, especially vitamin E. So remember we had talked about some of the cases where you take a large amount of vitamin E for different types of products. Mm-hmm. You can go low on vitamin K because E can actually block vitamin K. Mm-hmm. So you have to oftentimes increase the vitamin K along with that.
And I thought you said earlier in the show, vitamin E is a fat soluble.
Is fat soluble.
Right.
But there's no toxicity that's associated with it.
Okay.
But it can interfere with vitamin K absorption.
Okay. So why are gallbladder issues a hindrance to vitamin K absorption?
If the gallbladder is not working right, or if the gallbladder is removed, mm-hmm. then you no longer have the regulation of the bile into the gut. And if you don't have bile in the gut, you're not going to be absorbing your fats. And if you're not absorbing your fats, you're not taking in your fat-soluble vitamins.
I think a lot of people think, I shouldn't have that problem. My gallbladder's out.
But right. Actually, you create a huge amount of problems if you mm-hmm. don't have a gallbladder. Now, oftentimes that can be really necessary. But you have to consider the whole process along those lines, because now you are no longer getting your fat-soluble vitamins at the level you should be. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things why vitamin K3 is so good. So what you do is you switch to vitamin K3 because it's water-soluble, mm-hmm. and you don't need the bile to be able to absorb the vitamin K now. So that's one of the reasons that they discover the vitamin K3, a great way of doing it, and mm-hmm. solves an awful lot of issues. But yes, the bile is absolutely essential for normal function of the bowels, which people don't realize. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it, you're not going to have normal functioning bowels. So anybody that I sit there and I say, there are certain supplements you're always going to have to take now that you have your gallbladder out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so many times people don't listen to me, and then they come back a couple of years later and say, I got problems. And I said, yeah, you didn't take your supplements, did you? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about prevention.
Prevention.
What bowel diseases can cause vitamin K to be deficient, and why?
Well, Crohn's is a big one, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease, besides several others that can be involved with that, mm-hmm. all can damage the portion of the bowels that the vitamin K absorbs into. So when you're talking about chronic bowel diseases, even IBS can give an issue. You're talking about interference with the absorption of the vitamin K. Some of the other things that can be involved in that is if you're low hydrochloric acid. Let's say you're taking medication because you have heartburn, and you're taking your Zantac or whichever one that you might be choosing. That changes how the whole gut is working at that point, and you're probably going to have some vitamin and mineral absorption problems. Especially vitamin K is very sensitive along those lines, and you're probably becoming deficient. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're talking about those types of things, pancreas, if the pancreas isn't working up to par, all that changes how that absorption takes place.
Interesting. So what medications can interfere in vitamin K absorption and utilization?
Well, of course, you're talking about the whole anticoagulants, mm-hmm. Warfarin, heparin, coumarin. All of those can be involved with the problems that are associated with that. So warfarin, which is a rodenticide.
You like that saying means? That name?
Yeah,
that's
I like
a
that
cool
name.
Name.
What it means is
it
kills rats.
It kills rats.
It's rat poison.
Okay.
That's what it was invented for.
And people are taking it.
And so people take it because it basically, rats just bleed out. Mm-hmm. Whenever they take warfarin. And so it was a great blood thinner, and they said, well, let's try it out on people. So that's that's where they got that from. Heparin, which really blocks the prothrombin. So you've got that. And coumarin. Do you know coumarin was taken from sweet clover?
Oh.
Which is interesting as a means of getting a blood thinner going. Mm-hmm. So each of those do block and interfere both with the absorption and the utilization of vitamin K. That's how they work. Mm-hmm. So having that balance between how much you're taking, how much, what the balance is with the vitamin K, you need to really work on, because it's not, you can get too much of the pharmaceuticals or too little if you need them. So getting that whole thing balanced, it's a real big aspect. But that's not the only one. You were also talking about aspirin. Mm-hmm. Actually plays a big role. Also, the antibiotics plays a big role. Barbiturates also help to block it. Those all have a big effect on your vitamin K absorption. Aspirin blocks it completely. Can really block it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Now, vitamin K interferes with aspirin utilization, and aspirin interferes with vitamin K.
Interesting.
So, mm-hmm. looking at that and getting a good understanding of how that all works together is an important aspect of all this.
Well, Dr. Prather, we have one more minute. I want to make sure you cover everything that you wanted to cover on vitamin K. We did talk a little bit about what role can vitamin K play in overdoses of blood thinners.
Right.
But anything you want to finish off? We have about 30 seconds now.
Yeah, again, vitamin K is something that I don't want people going out and messing with it themselves. Mm-hmm. You need to have a structure function doctor to balance that, especially if you're taking different types of drugs that can interfere with it, especially if you're on blood thinners. Mm-hmm. And this is something that oftentimes most physicians don't actually understand. Mm-hmm. So having a structure function doctor along with working with your physician is an important type of aspect of dealing, especially if you're taking blood thinners.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop.
If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.